Coming up on KUCB News, Penn Air is reducing flights on two of its routes, and wildlife managers have issued an apology to the native people of Alaska. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics. Located in the airport cargo building, Redfish sells computers, Androids, iPhones, iPads, televisions, headphones, and unlocked phones. Business hours can be obtained by calling 359-2205.
Redfish, we got stuff.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Tuesday, September 18th, 2018. Citing a nationwide pilot shortage, Penn Air is reducing its flights to St. Paul Island and Dillingham. Starting October 1st, the airline will fly between St. Paul and Anchorage three times per week instead of four, and between Dillingham and Anchorage two times per day instead of three. Penn Air officials say they're recruiting new crew members now, and they're confident they'll return to regular service once they hire and train enough staff. While it's unclear when that might be, officials say the schedule change is unrelated to the company's bankruptcy proceedings. After filing for Chapter 11 last year, a federal judge has ordered Penn Air be sold next month. The company's court-appointed trustee has said that the sale will not affect service to Penn Air's eight routes across Bristol Bay, the Alaska Peninsula, and the Aleutian and Pribilof Islands. And he says competitive bidders will have to submit a plan for continued air service in Southwest Alaska. With Unalaska's election just 2 weeks away, KUCB is hosting our annual candidates forum tomorrow night. We'll have your city council and school board candidates in the studio to share their platforms and answer your questions. You can pose those during the live program or send them to us in advance. We are now accepting questions by phone and email, so give us a call at 581-6700 or email us at candidates@kucb.org. The Candidates Forum starts tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. You can listen in here on 89.7 FM, tune in on Channel 8 TV, or watch the live video feed at our public viewing in the Burma Road Chapel. Wildlife officials are apologizing to Alaska Native people for the past enforcement of migratory bird regulations that failed to consider the effects on subsistence. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service issued a joint apology last week for the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, which prohibited the spring and summer harvests of birds and their eggs during the 1960s and 70s. Greg Sakanik is director of Fish and Wildlife's Alaska region. He says he's thankful to Native groups that educated managers about how their people were affected by those regulations.
It's because of you and your elders that we are publicly acknowledging this history, and that we'd be given the opportunity to heal from past mistakes.
Before it was changed in 1997, Sakanik says the law caused Alaska Native people to lose an important food source and led many to hunt illegally to feed their families. A variety of Native leaders accepted the apology delivered at a meeting of the Alaska Migratory Bird Co-Management Council, but many say there's still work to do in terms of aligning regulations with subsistence traditions. Jennifer Hooper is a natural resources director in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta.
In our region, there's several villages that are very strong in their beliefs on, you know, how regulated and how pressured they are to fit into this, you know, this Western system of management.
To address that disconnect, Hooper says many Native organizations are now encouraging young Alaskans to consider jobs with the agencies regulating subsistence. Legal experts say a woman's right to have an abortion is firmly protected by the Alaska Constitution, but it's also become an issue in the governor's race unfolding before the November election. KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman has the story.
Governor Bill Walker recently wrote a commentary for the Anchorage Daily News saying that while he's pro-life, he would veto legislation seeking to restrict abortions.
My personal views haven't changed, but I will not put my personal views in front of the Constitution, which is extremely clear. Alaska has one of the strongest constitutions on, you know, personal individual rights, which includes a woman's reproductive rights. So that will remain unchanged in our administration.
Walker, who's an independent, says he supports other steps that he considers to be pro-life, like supporting access to birth control and health care.
And that's why I did what I did to accept Medicaid expansion. I knew I was going to, you know, be sued by some in the legislature. I was in the Senate majority. We prevailed in that litigation, and today 44,000 Alaskans have that coverage.
Walker says he would veto any bill restricting abortions. He expects the attorney general would advise him that it's unconstitutional. But while the governor doesn't have a formal role in amending the Constitution, he's also skeptical of changing the Constitution to restrict abortions.
I'd have to see the amendment. You know, I didn't run for governor. I'm not in this office to change anything the way it is today. And so I can't anticipate, you know, what an amendment would look like. If it restricted it, I would not be in favor. We need to leave that issue. I'm not going to address that as governor because I think it's well settled.
Former U.S. Senator Mark Begich is the Democratic candidate. He says abortion rights are an issue this year.
I can tell you that I hear about it a lot. I'm the only candidate that's been endorsed by Planned Parenthood, the only candidate that has a 100% record when it comes to pro-choice issues and women's reproductive rights. And I think it will be an issue that women and men care about.
Begich acknowledges that the state constitution protects the right to an abortion, but he says the legislature can take other steps.
They'll whittle away in ways that your right won't touch the constitutionality, but will do other things.
He cited a law Walker chose not to veto that allows school districts to prevent Planned Parenthood from providing sex education. And the Walker administration has defended another abortion-related law facing a legal challenge. This law makes it more difficult for Medicaid recipients to receive coverage for abortions. The legal challenge remains in court. And Begich says it's important for the Alaska governor to push back against any steps taken by the federal government to restrict abortions.
Even if we protect our right constitutionally for women's reproductive rights, we need to make sure the government on the federal end isn't passing some regulation that limits or restricts health care for women, and the governor has to be on the front line pushing back everywhere you can.
Republican candidate and former state senator Mike Dunleavy said in an interview last month he doesn't expect Alaska's abortion law to be affected by President Donald Trump's current choice for U.S. Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh.
The nomination of Kavanaugh, I don't think is going to change this dynamic. I could be wrong, but I'd be surprised if it did.
On a personal level, Dunleavy considers himself to be pro-life, including opposing abortion in cases of rape and incest.
The question for me is, should an innocent human being, should their life be ended because of circumstances? I struggle with that. I really do struggle with that. I don't think a person's life should be ended, an innocent human being's life should be ended, just because of the circumstances by which they were conceived.
Governors in other states have reshaped how state constitutions are interpreted through their choices of state Supreme Court justices. But in Alaska, the process for selecting judges limits the governor's choices. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Meanwhile, in Washington, both of Alaska's U.S. senators say they need to hear more about allegations from a California professor who says Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh sexually assaulted her when they were high school students more than 30 years ago. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports.
Senator Lisa Murkowski says Professor Christine Blasey Ford should give her account under oath and Judge Kavanaugh should respond under oath.
I think we should take these allegations seriously, regardless of the length of time, the passage of time.
Ford says Kavanaugh pinned her down and tried to rape her in an isolated room while a party was underway. She says his movements were hampered by intoxication and she managed to escape. Kavanaugh denies the allegation and says he never attended the party she describes. Murkowski says facts can be hard to establish after more than 30 years. And she says teenagers often do things that are impetuous, foolish, or just plain dumb. But she says youth can't provide a blanket excuse for bad behavior.
Is there a statute of limitations that says once you hit this age, anything that happened before that time is kind of off the books? No, I don't think that that is the case. But I do think that we need to be fair with this.
Murkowski is closely watched as one of only two Republican senators considered possible no votes on Kavanaugh. Senator Dan Sullivan announced he'd support Kavanaugh after meeting with him this summer. But as state attorney general and as a senator, Sullivan has made women's safety one of his signature priorities, and he now says he wants to hear more. Sullivan read from a prepared statement.
My view is both Professor Ford and Judge Kavanaugh deserve the right to be heard on this matter. I commend Chairman Grassley on committing to as much and will be following closely as these claims are evaluated, reviewed, and the Judiciary Committee continues to look at them.
Sullivan did take one question.
It's whether you think something like this that one might have done in high school could ever be disqualifying.
Again, I'm just going to wait for the context.
Sullivan says the question opens up avenues he believes will be explored. A public hearing on the allegation is now scheduled for September 24. Reporting from the U.S. Capitol, I'm Liz Ruskin.
And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.